You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last Friday, 19 July, the International Court of Justice found Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories to be illegal under international law. For the first time, it amounted what Israel is doing to apartheid against the Palestinian people. The court's opinion is non-binding, but can carry immense weight in the international community. It has added pressure for Israel to end their siege on Gaza. I spoke to Kate Stone from Justice for Palestine about the ruling and New Zealand's consequent obligations as a United Nations member state. Can you explain the recent ICJ decision on Israeli apartheid?
So I think just at a really simple level, this is the UN's highest court declaring that Israel's occupation of Palestine is illegal, that its practices in occupying Palestine amount to apartheid, and that all states are under an obligation to bring the situation, the occupation, to an end. So, in terms of a little bit more detail, the ICJ decision is an advisory opinion. So what that means is that the court is making a declaration of what the legal position is, and it was asked to do this by the UN General Assembly back in late 2022, early 2023. And so the court looked at the question of whether Israel's policies and practices in the occupied Palestinian territories are contrary to international law, and the practices that it was looking at was Israel's ongoing violation of Palestinian rights to self-determination, Israel's prolonged occupation, settlement and annexation of Palestinian territories since 1967, and Israel's adoption of discriminatory laws and measures against Palestinians. And then, depending on how it answered that question, it was to go on and look at how the legality of Israel's ongoing, how those practices affect the legality of Israel's occupation as a whole, and then what that means in terms of the obligations for Israel, the UN, and other states.
Does this decision force any action?
So as an advisory opinion, it's just declaring the law, and its ruling isn't binding as such. But the UN General Assembly requested this opinion, and so the idea here with this type of opinion is that the UN bodies and UN member states would enforce the judgment and take steps to ensure that international law is upheld. So there's a range of things that UN bodies, the General Assembly and the UN Security Council could do, as well as states like New Zealand. There's lots of things that that these parties can do in order to enforce the judgment.
And what has the response been from UN member states?
I guess one thing to say about this process is that in the course of determining this matter, the court heard from a large number of member states, many of which provided evidence and legal arguments in support of where the court has ultimately ended up. At this stage, there's been that the judgment has been welcomed by both states parties and civil society activists around the world. What the ICJ has said is not necessarily new. What they've done is they've officially declared the legal status, but many UN member states and the UN itself, UN bodies itself, and human rights organisations around the world have been saying these things for a long time. So the ICJ decision has confirmed that position and has been clear that states parties now have obligations to act. And so what we've seen is we've seen states parties come out and say they're considering the decision and determining what action they should take. So, for example, we've seen the Foreign Minister of Australia, Penny Wong, come out and say that, you know, to recognise that decision and to say that they are carefully considering what action is to be taken. And so it's really important that our government here in New Zealand does the same. New Zealand is a small state and we rely on a system of international law that's based on rules, that's based on right rather than might. And so as part of maintaining that system of international law, New Zealand needs to take action to implement this decision.
And what can New Zealand do to uphold the ICJ ruling?
Yes, so there's a whole bunch of things that New Zealand could do. I think firstly, the New Zealand government should come out and make a public statement. This could include a motion in Parliament recognising the court's decision that Israel's occupation is illegal and commit to taking concrete action. And the kinds of action that the New Zealand government could take include ending any existing and prospective economic trade and investment relations with Israel. So part of the ICJ decision is to say that states have an obligation not to do things that might assist in maintaining the occupation. So sanctioning and divesting from Israel and Israel's occupation and things that assist in maintaining that occupation. New Zealand should also recognise the state of Palestine as a step towards recognising Palestinian self-determination and delegitimising Israel's actions that have that violate Palestinian self-determination as found by the ICJ. And if New Zealand was to recognise the state of Palestine, in doing so it would be joining the overwhelming majority of UN member states that already recognise the state of Palestine. And the other thing that New Zealand should be doing is actively working with UN member states to encourage the General Assembly and Security Council to take meaningful steps in response to the ICJ ruling. So, for example, the UN General Assembly could suspend Israel's rights and privileges, meaning that Israel wouldn't be able to participate in sessions of the General Assembly. And this is exactly what happened with apartheid South Africa in the 1970s and contributed to that racist regime becoming a pariah in the international community. And that's the kind of level of action that's required in this situation.
Will what New Zealand does make any difference to Israeli apartheid, considering how small we are?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we saw with the fall of the South African apartheid regime is that there was a building up of pressure from states. It was the big Western powers that held out the longest, but the pressure of all the right-thinking states around the world slowly mounting and making it untenable for big actors like the US and the UK to continue to support that regime. That was what ultimately led to the ending of the apartheid regime, alongside obviously all of the activism and resistance of the South African people. So I think it's incredibly important that New Zealand join many other states around the world that have come out and said what Israel is doing in its occupation of the Palestinian territories, including its blockade and current bombardment of Gaza, is a complete affront to the international system of law and for humanity, and that it must end. And we've seen Ireland, Spain, Norway come out and recognise the state of Palestine. It's clear where the direction of travel is, that parties all around the world are realising that this situation cannot continue and action needs to be taken. And all of these little steps go some way into establishing a situation where we could move to a pathway towards peace for Palestine and Israel and delegitimising the current regime that Israel is perpetrating against Palestinian people.
And on the topic of South African apartheid, should there be a boycotting of Israel in the Olympics this week, like what happened with South Africa?
Absolutely. I think given what we're seeing on the ground in Gaza at the moment, we need to take every possible action to make it clear that Israel's flagrant violations of international law, international humanitarian law and the human rights of Palestinians is completely unacceptable, and there will be no business as usual. There will be no Olympics as usual. There will be no other sporting events as usual until Israel ends its occupation. That is what this moment demands, and New Zealand, alongside the rest of the international community, needs to be taking action with that level of urgency in this.
that was Justice for Palestine's Kate Stone on the ICJ ruling that Israel is committing apartheid against Palestinians.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.